Here we are with Jim McGovern, chairman of the House Rules Committee, very powerful man, and, you know, my kind of guy in terms of his outlook on life. So I want to ask you something. I know you come from Massachusetts. I know that the Massachusetts senator is your favorite up until now. But let's just say she doesn't make Elizabeth Warren. You got another place to go?
I'm with whoever wins, to be honest with you. Somebody asked me who's my second choice. As my first choice is Elizabeth Warren, my second choice is unity. There's so much at stake in this upcoming election. I think a nominee will emerge. I hope it's Elizabeth Warren, but if it's not, whoever that nominee that emerges will have gone through a very vigorous vetting process, a caucus and primary process that is grueling. And so the strongest person will emerge, I believe. And whether it's somebody I agree with on 100% of the issues or somebody I agree with on 60% of the issues, I'm going to be there. Because as resilient a country as we are, I don't think we can survive another 4 years of Donald Trump.
Couldn't Bernie Sanders win?
Yeah. I mean, you know, don't forget when Donald Trump became the nominee, nobody thought he could win. And even though he lost the popular vote by 3 million votes, I should add, he won the Electoral College and he's president. Look, I think Bernie can win. I think any of these candidates can win. I can't predict for you who the nominee will be or who is ultimately will be the strongest person to run against him. That will be determined through this process. But, I think for me, you know my politics. I'm a liberal Democrat. But
indeed you are.
At this point, I am not going to, I'm not going to sit on my hands if there's somebody who's much more moderate than me becomes the nominee, because I think that would be irresponsible. I mean, I owe it to my kids. I owe it to the future. I owe it to this planet to make sure that we end Donald Trump's presidency and we put somebody in there who at a minimum will move us in a different direction.
Okay, so tell me about Roger Stone and the fooling that is going on between Attorney General Barr and the president tweeting about reducing his potential sentence, disagreeing with his own people. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's very, very disturbing, to say the least. Look, the Attorney General is not the president's personal attorney. The Attorney General is supposed to be the attorney for the United States of America, the whole country. He's not there, to do Donald Trump's bidding or to circle the wagons around him or to protect him or to protect his friends. And so when the president, puts out tweets saying, I don't like Roger Stone's, the recommendation of the Justice Department about what Roger Stone should serve in jail as a result of his crimes. And then a couple of hours later, the Attorney General comes out and, changes everything. That is interference that quite frankly does great damage to the Justice Department and to our sense of justice in this country. I mean, this is it's corrupt. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. William Barr should resign. He should resign, and he is not fit to be Attorney General. And he demonstrates that each and every day. And interfering on behalf of Trump to try to lighten Roger Stone's sentence is just the latest example.
I'm assuming that the president is preparing to pardon a whole bunch of these people. What would your reaction to that be?
Yeah, well, he makes Richard Nixon, look like, a boy, an Eagle Scout. I mean, this is corruption. This is corruption. Pardoning people who are guilty of crimes, and there's no question and no doubt that Roger Stone committed crimes. There's no doubt that General Flynn or Paul Manafort or any of these other guys who lied, to investigators and who did stuff that, by any measure is criminal. There's no question that these people should be held to account. To just wipe the slate clean, to pardon them all, to say they're all my friends, so therefore they should suffer no consequence. I mean, that's corruption.
So let me ask you this. What about Michael Bloomberg? There are people who write me every day saying, I like the guy, but is it a good idea for a billionaire to get the Democratic nomination?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't like the idea that people with lots of money could come in and kind of buy their way into the system here. So I don't know a lot about Michael Bloomberg. There are some things that he does that he's done that I like, and there are some things he's done I don't like. The stop and frisk stuff I didn't like. I mean, some of his economic policies and his views on trade I don't like. But look, we are where we are, and I don't know who's going to emerge. But if you're asking me if Michael Bloomberg emerges as the nominee, will I support him? Yeah, I will. I mean, he's not my first choice, probably not my second, third, or fourth choice. But the bottom line is, when we have a nominee, it's the nominee versus Donald Trump. And, you know, I'd rather fight with Michael Bloomberg over trade and over healthcare policy and over, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff than have to deal with Donald Trump, who doesn't care about any of the things that I care about. He doesn't care about any of the things my constituents care about. And I also think it's important that the President of the United States not be somebody who embraces, you know, bigotry and racism and hate. I'm looking at the president's tweets today. I mean, the things he's, you know, he's making fun of Michael Bloomberg's height. It's like just, you know, if you had a kid in sixth grade who was saying these things, you'd give them a timeout. And yet this is the President of the United States. There's so much at stake here. Look, we need to fight for the best nominee. I'm a progressive. I'm a liberal. I'm going to fight for the person who represents my values. I hope I prevail. I hope all the Michael Bloomberg supporters will support my candidate. But if I don't prevail and they do, or if Joe Biden wins or Amy Klobuchar or Bernie Sanders, whoever wins, I'm there. I mean, this idea that we have the luxury to all, you know, hold out for our perfect candidate, we don't have that luxury. Not this year. This year, we all have to be focused and we have to be determined to make sure that we end what is the crisis we now have in Washington. So that's where I am on this.
So what went wrong with Deval Patrick? He's my friend. I love the guy. What happened there?
Well, I love Deval. I mean, when Deval ran for governor, I was the first elected official in Massachusetts to endorse him. I think what happened to Deval was he got in too late, and I understand why, because his wife Diane, who I love as well, you know, had some health issues. But I think had he got in earlier, I think, you know, we would be having a different discussion right now. But Deval is one of the classiest guys I know, and he is a man of great conviction and great vision, someone who loves this country. Who would have been a great president. I think, you know, timing sometimes plays a big role in, you know, how in the outcome of elections. And I think in retrospect, you know, he just got in a little bit too late when everybody else had already been there, been out campaigning for months and months and months.
I want to talk to you very quickly. I only got 2 minutes here about NAFTA and the new USMCA. Are you happy with it?
Look, I give Richie Neal a huge amount of credit for the negotiation, and it is a much improved trade agreement from what we had in place, and Neal deserves a great deal of the credit for that. I'm a little skeptical about the implementation of these trade agreements because, the implementation part of it has always been a challenge with past trade agreements, but I'm also not thrilled with the fact that the issue of the climate crisis is not addressed in any serious way in this measure. So at the end of the day, I didn't vote for it, but I would have preferred to wait until we had a different president and we could have done something that not only would have protected workers but also made a dent into this climate crisis. But having said that, I have nothing but praise for Congressman Neal, who, without his leadership, the original trade agreement that the president sent up here was dead on arrival. Neal, through painstaking negotiation, improved it greatly, and I give him credit for that.
It's great always to talk to Jim McGovern. I know how busy you are, and frankly, I know how powerful you are, so everybody wants something from you. But you still come around, you talk to us, and you always tell what you think is the right way. And I so appreciate that kind of candor. So, Jim
Well, I
McGovern,
always
second
appreciate
district.
talking to you.
And it's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.